This is CICK News.
A high school in Whitsett is now offering a life-saving opportunity for students. A local teacher, who's also a licensed paramedic, is running a 5-month emergency medical responder course, essentially advanced first aid, that qualifies graduates to work on ambulances. The course was condensed from an intensive 1-month program to make it more accessible at the high school level. It's part of a province-wide push to train more paramedics, and the instructor says demand is strong with the new classes already planned for Smithers and Whitsett this fall. Let's hear from that instructor now.
I'm Matt Anderson. I'm a teacher and paramedic. So I teach an EMR course. It's an emergency medical responder course. I'm a teacher by trade, but I normally teach kindergarten grade 1. That's my thing. And then I got this paramedic license, and I still taught grade 1, like up till 2 years ago.
And so it's July 10th that we're speaking, and you said that you have students that just wrote a very difficult exam. Yes. Can you tell me a little bit about the exam, and then also what the success rate was of your students?
Yeah. So my students just finished up in June, and what they have to do in the course, they have to complete a midterm and a final exam and a practical exam with me, which isn't too bad. It's challenging. It's a lot. But after they're done the course, they have to get licensed. I certify them, and then they get licensed so they're able to work within their scope of practice. Mm-hmm. And licensing is through the EMALB board of BC, and they're usually out in Victoria. So they actually fly down here, and they watch the students do a practical exam, which are 2 40-minute exams. They can't make a mistake really in these. One's trauma, one's medical, a random call in each category. And they have to complete those both in a certain amount of time and very high pressure. But the kids did really good. 6 out of 7 passed that wanted to license. And the course itself is worth 4 high school credits as well. So I get lots of students that just jump in, just want the credits. They don't license, which is fine. They just pass the course through me. Yeah, and of the ones that licensed, we have one now working for BC Ambulance. And almost all the rest that are wanting to work for BC Ambulance, they just have to wait till they're 19.
Students are preparing for the kinds of calls that ambulance crews see daily. Medical emergencies like overdoses, diabetic crises, and heart attacks requiring CPR, as well as trauma calls like car crashes, serious falls, and workplace accidents.
You were also telling me before that typically these exams have like 90% failure.
Oh, last year, June of last year, the education coordinator was talking with her, said that the fail rate was 90% in licensing across the board, EMRs, PCPs, ACPs, all those license levels. So at a very high fail rate in the standard way it's presented, which is 1 month, very intense course. But with this 5-month course with high school students, it's more in depth and they can wrap their head around it more. It's not such a crash course. And yeah, so I had a really good success rate.
So after these students receive their license, and that's an EMR license.
EMR license.
What then would be the next natural step? Will some of them stop there? And then what can
right.
they do as EMRs?
So they can work on ambulance. They can work for BC Ambulance, or they can get a job in industry as medics.
Okay.
And we'll have priority over OFA3s. It's higher.
What's an OFA3?
Occupational First Aid Level 3. But you got your First Aid Level 1, 2, 3. Then you have something called FR, First Responder. Then you have EMR.
This course gives students an expanded scope of practice, allowing them to perform more advanced life-saving interventions. Emergency medical responders can now administer critical medications like epinephrine and asthma inhalers, once only available from higher-level paramedics or in the hospital. This recent update means that they can draw up and deliver these drugs on the spot, which is especially vital in remote communities where every minute counts.
Okay, so a pulse check on what need a community like Whitsett has
yeah.
for more trained individuals and people, like you said, above that OFA.
OFA, yeah.
So what is that? Yeah, what are you seeing that this is a gap that you're trying to actually fill?
Yeah, I've been doing this since about 2012. I've been assigned as the medical officer, and I had like my level 1 back then, way over my head, and I went to calls that were way over my head. So I ended up getting more training, got my EMR, got my PCP, worked for BC Ambulance, and now I do the same thing here. But there's a huge need for it. I'm on the fire department here. We have a fire, a significant structural fire, maybe once a year, once every 2 years. But medical calls, we have, if you worked it out, it's about one a day. It's about one medical call a day, and they're pretty serious, a lot of them. And I want to do preventative work as well with these students. Like, I want to go do elder checks. I want to do follow-ups. I want to do, if there's suicidal ideation, we go there and we follow up with them daily and have a service like that where we're doing preventative care, not just showing up when it's too late, because that's what we do now. We can't help it. We only have one or two people. Yeah. But I'd really like to have a system in place too, for preventative measures and different things. Yeah.
I think what's important about that too is training students, especially high school age or just around high school age, in their own community. It actually also builds that possibility of what work looks like in their own community as well. Yeah. So are you seeing that? Like, that students are seeing maybe that possibility? Or
I think so. And I think what I want it to develop is a sense of pride and purpose in a lot of the students in the community. So I want the students to be from the community, in the community, working for the community. That's the goal. And to have them have a sense of pride about it and stuff. And to be, when they go to significant calls, to be recognized, like in the feast hall or something like that, to have that aspect be a part of it as well. Because it happens lots when you go on rough calls, and I've been to many, and I'm recognized in the feast hall and thanked and given a gift or something. And that would be really significant, I think, for these guys, for the students. So there's a big cultural aspect that would play into it as well. And just having a sense of pride and purpose in your community would be really good, I think. Yeah.
Is there anything else I didn't ask that you want to include in this?
Three of my students were also my kindergarten students. That I taught this year that are now licensed. They were my kindergarten students.
Oh my God.
And two of them are my god kids / kindergarten students. Yeah. That's just cool. It was just like full circle.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really good. I'm glad you added that.
I'm getting old. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah. No problem.
Looking ahead at the community of Whitsett's emergency preparedness involves more than paramedics. So I sat down with Chris Turner at the CSEK station last week to discuss what other emergency systems are needed and how Indigenous communities are facing the challenge of providing these services with smaller community numbers in rural areas. The Whitsett First Nation relies on a small but dedicated volunteer fire department to handle emergencies in the community. With just 10 to 12 firefighters serving a population of about 700, the department responds to a range of calls, but most are medical emergencies, as well as wildfire and structural fire calls, though those are less frequent. Matt Anderson and Chris Turner are working to update these programs in Whitsett, where ambulance response times can be long and volunteer resources are limited. Recruitment remains a challenge, as small population size make it harder to fill volunteer roles for fire and emergency management services.
Hi, my name is Chris Turner. I'm the Emergency Program Coordinator for the Whitsett First Nation. I got into the field of emergency management through my firefighting experience through Smithers Fire Rescue. Through the last 7 years of building that capacity and experience, I started working for First Nations Emergency Services Society, helping First Nations communities with fire prevention and public education and training of fire departments if they did that. Whitsett Emergency Management started July of last year after the wildfire season of the John Brown Creek wildfire. They saw the importance of having somebody in a role like emergency management out there. So I started building this department last year in July, which subsequently led to the Quarry Creek wildfire last year, which we were a little more prepared for with having somebody in the role.
And have you collected volunteers or other staff, or is it just you for now?
We did have a Fire Smart coordinator that was in place prior to me getting there. They vacated the role, so we're going to be looking to fill that one as a paid employee again. Mm-hmm. But other than that, it's building capacity within the nation itself through volunteers and through the band administration.
Yeah. Something that I saw was that part of the value or the vision is to protect the community while also honoring tradition. Can you tell me what's the Venn diagram? What does that look like for emergency management?
Yeah, I mean, it's pulling on that historical and cultural knowledge from throughout the decades and hundreds of years from elders and other people within the community that have that firsthand experience with previous emergencies or fires mm-hmm. within the community, and just integrating that into the programming we're trying to build with emergency management.
I did speak to Matt Anderson, and we were talking a little bit about the future of what emergency management looks like in Whitsett. So are you able to tell me what that looks like coming down the line from your perspective?
Yeah, I think the emergency management department's super fresh. We've made pretty good progress in the last year with working on redoing the emergency management plan and building capacity, getting the fire department up and active again, mm-hmm. and building these interagency relationships between emergency management, climate readiness, Indigenous Services Canada, other organizations like Smithers Fire Rescue. So it's pretty much building off of that into the future with expanding those relationships and developing a regional approach to emergency management so we can mitigate future fires and emergencies together as a region.
So for listeners who maybe aren't from here, Whitsett is equidistant between Hazelton and Smithers. So emergency responses would typically have to come from one of those communities. What part of this is being taught by yourself or Matt Anderson to build the next generation of youth in Whitsett now to prepare them for when more infrastructure and more, like you said, more agencies, there's more people in place? Are you managing that part now where you're working with youth and getting people to volunteer and be part of building something from the ground up in Whitsett?
Yeah, so Matt Anderson, he's doing some great things through the iCount school there with the EMR, mm-hmm. Emergency Medical Responder Program. So getting some youth and, like you said, the next generation interested in the medical response side of things. Yeah. And when it comes to my side, I'm assisting him with that, but also with the fire department trying to inspire the next generation to come and fill those boots, mm-hmm. to come and mitigate some of the future emergencies as well. So yeah. Ultimately, they're our next line of defense into the future. So we really want to try and get them hooked and interested in this.
Yeah, having programs that kind of immediately are like, it's career path, but it's also, these are exhilarating jobs too that people are thinking about. And being in the medical field, it's, I think a lot of people might not know that's their future too. Are you seeing that trend yet, or is it just too early to tell?
Yeah, people aren't super exposed to it, or the youth exposed to it. Like when I was growing up, my dad was on the volunteer fire department in Gittimax, and I was exposed to that, but you don't know it as a, I didn't see it as like a potential career back then.
Yeah.
The nearest career fire departments would be Terrace and Prince George. So the youth aren't super exposed to that stuff. So it's trying to build some programming and build some capacity for that to be a potential career for them one day, whether it's through Matt's medical program and trying to get some paid medical responders one day, or through the fire department, or even through my role as emergency program coordinator, getting some youth involved in this kind of thing. We did just get a junior fire smart coordinator who's working right now, yeah. and that's one of the starting points for these youth that we're trying to do.
Did your emergency management department, did you apply for grants, receive grants through this? And if so, can you speak to what they went to as well?
Yeah, for sure. Any of those grants, you got to get creative with some of the funding opportunities out there for emergency management on reserve. So the CEPF funds through UBCM are a perfect example of how to access some kind of quick and reliable funds there. So we were successful with getting the fire department equipment and training grant, which we used to buy some pretty necessary equipment for the fire department there.
Such as?
Hoses, nozzles, hand tools, that kind of thing. Just the basics they need to safely and effectively do what they do out there. Mm-hmm. And then we were also successful with doing the Emergency Operations Center stream of funding through them. So we built some capacity within the band administration and built an Emergency Operations Center team and got a third party to come and train us. And then some additional equipment that's needed for an emergency operations center.
What are some of the unique challenges of planning for emergency preparedness? What's unique about doing it on reserve versus in a community such as Smithers or Houston or Hazelton?
So my specific role and the band administration were confined to the IR, the Indian Reserve boundaries of where we can operate. Like we can go a little bit outside of that to assist with some emergencies outside of that, but ultimately the funding and everything is confined to there for what I do.
Okay.
So a little bit different than Smithers or another municipality there.
Yeah.
And then just accessing funds. There's not a tax base to pull funding from for, say, like the fire department and whatnot. So
yeah.
You're finding other avenues to get that funding and reallocate funds to get that. Currently working on a few project proposals to get funding through Indigenous Services Canada to fund some of the things that I want to do with the emergency management department out there.
Yeah.
I think there are a lot of... Most reserves in BC, northern BC, are fairly small too. So when you're relying on volunteers to fill boots at the fire department or fill these roles within emergency management, like the emergency ESS program?
Yeah.
We're looking for volunteers for that. But when your population is small, you don't have a ton of volunteers. So it's hard to get people.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you to WITSET Emergency Program Coordinator Chris Turner and paramedic and educator Matt Anderson for speaking with me about WITSET's emergency response plans for the future. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.